Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Oh, we got breaking news.
What's that?
They finally got him. They're going to charge Trump with, insurrection. The January 6th committee?
Yeah.
They want the Justice Department to pursue at least 3 criminal charges, and one of them is insurrection. Obstruction of an official proceeding, a conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government.
This is a recommendation from the House committee.
From the because they're done. I mean, the Republicans have taken over the House, and that's the end of this thing.
Yeah, that's got no power of anything.
Right, but the Department of Justice might take the recommendation and file the charges. That'll be up to them.
Probably not.
But it's Biden's Justice Department.
Yeah, but they don't want to get entangled with going after a sitting president, because then the next administration will go after Biden.
Well, he's not a sitting president. You mean former president.
Former president, sorry.
I thought this is what this was all about a couple of years ago. No. We can't wait till he's out of office, then we can get him.
No, that's posturing. That's the theater to create excitement on your side during the voting cycles.
I thought both sides agreed, though, that indicting a sitting president, no, but when he's out of office.
Well, it's never been done, though.
But now he's running again, so.
Yeah, that's another thing.
And he sold out those trading cards, sold them out, thousands of them in minutes.
He could produce endless of those trading cards, and he'll sell millions of them.
Should have bought some, and then I could have gone online and tried to sell them for a profit or whatever. I mean, they're not really, they're digital or whatever.
You know, these digital, yeah. They're NFTs.
They're NFTs,
which
yeah.
is non-fungible
tokens.
As worthless as all the crypto. It's all like fake stuff that doesn't really exist. Fascinating time we're in.
Oh, I have a sensitive ethical question for you too.
What?
I had a worker come to the house today to do some repairs, and as soon as I opened the door, this was early, like 9 o'clock. He wanted to use the bathroom, which is fine. So I went upstairs to the office, and I'm working away, and I don't hear a flush for a while.
Yes.
Then I did. He did number 2. I mean, is that considered faux pas? What's the rules on if you're a worker and you got to go and you get to someone's house? Well, number one, I understand, because that's, how do I put it?
You want him to do
a bit more sanitary and less smelly?
You want him to do it on the lawn?
I know. I thought of that. He was probably
he should
in a
do
bind.
It before he came to the job.
He should,
yeah, but maybe the urge didn't hit him until he.
You know,
I don't know how far away he came. I didn't ask him.
Let's say he's got a system where it's an hour after breakfast.
There are people like that, especially with coffee. Like,
that's right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it went off, and he's standing there looking at you, and it's either your toilet or your front walk.
Yeah, I doubt I would have ever said no, but if it was number two, I might have hesitated. I didn't know. I just assumed it was...
Excuse me, do you have to pee or poop?
Well, that's why I'm asking this question.
No.
This is the etiquette question. What do you do? Do you...
No, I just...
Do you direct him because there's a
park down the
street
from me? I just say I don't have a working bathroom for you to use. I'm so sorry.
You haven't seen Ken's house. That's hard to sell.
Well, the guy hasn't seen my house, though.
Odds are there's more than one working bathroom in there.
I could have said there's a park down the street. With public restrooms, no. That's number two.
What is he repairing?
No, they were actually window washers.
Window washers. Oh, so there's not much damage you can do.
Damage you could do.
Well, in other words, if you piss them off,
and
it's your electrical system, then maybe you don't want to offend him.
Okay, I just
or like the gas.
No,
because then you could.
Needless to say, I couldn't go in there for a while.
You have to go and sanitize it. You should have seen me when COVID was at the,
Oh, yeah. He sprayed, though, which was, thoughtful.
I know, but you have to go and you have to Clorox everything.
Well, I actually had a cleaning team come the next day, so.
Oh, okay.
Just for him?
No.
Wow. That must have been something else.
That was the schedule, as it turned out.
That was a big breakfast.
Yeah, I called in a hazmat team immediately.
A whole cleaning team, huh?
Yeah, gosh. Right.
You did the right thing.
Guess what? It's day five of the state of emergency on homelessness in the city of Los Angeles.
I know. I was thinking about that, and I was so excited. All the possibilities of what could have been done on day five.
People are asking for that alarm. They want to use it on their phone and stuff. And
is that right?
Yeah.
Can we sell ringtones of that thing?
Right. Thank you for reminding me about that, actually.
What?
I forwarded him the request.
Oh, you're gonna send it to people?
It's up to him. It's not up to me.
Okay.
He handles all sound effects. So charge.
Technically, Clay would have to charge.
Clay. Okay.
That's right. That is a homemade alarm there. So I don't think we have to pay rights to a sound effects company necessarily.
Oh no, we don't.
We could sell that as a ringtone.
Clay put that together a few years ago.
Right.
It's some other emergency.
Oh, there's always emergencies.
There's always an emergency. There was movement today. Well, first we'll check with you. Still homeless people in your neighborhood?
Did I have an encounter today? I'm trying to think.
Oh, looks like it's working.
Yeah, I think she might have pulled everybody off. I don't think I was accosted today. Of course, I don't.
You didn't see anybody? You didn't hear anything? That's unusual. You've had one every day this week to talk about.
Oh, I know. No, it's been a busy time. In homeless land.
It's the holidays. They're moving about.
I went to two places this morning. No, I didn't run across anything.
Wow.
I'm trying to be accurate in my reporting. I'm not exaggerating or hyping things. No, today was a quiet day. But I did stay mostly indoors.
Okay. Well, that limits your chances to see what's going on. So we're very excited to announce, not only do we have that state of emergency, today we moved up another level. She signed an executive order.
An executive order?
An EO, as they call it.
Oh, my goodness.
To accelerate and lower the cost of affordable housing and lift regulations that slow or prevent permanent or temporary housing for those experiencing homelessness. It sounds rather broad.
Yeah. Can we have some specifics?
Yeah. I saw one, I think it was a professor, commenting on the state of emergency saying, this sounds like she's just trying to shelter people. She's not really getting to the systemic nature of homelessness. Systemic nature.
Was that some academic?
It was, yeah.
I
forget
which
one.
Can we deport all the academics? Is that possible? Is there an executive order where all these silly, foolish academics can be sent away?
Remember when we did the show, we'd complain there were too many lawyers, but you're right. Now there's too many academics.
There's too many academics, and certain phrases have to be banned forever, and one of them is systemic. Did you ever hear the word systemic before, say, 5 years ago? And then suddenly, like, every 8 minutes, somebody's going, there's a systemic cause here, a systemic problem.
Well, the George Floyd thing changed a lot, and that's when the word I kept hearing systemic racism all the time after that. So
I know.
That's 2.5 years I've been hearing it.
It's created mass hysteria among academics. Right. And now it's almost like Tourette's syndrome. Every few seconds they have to go, there's a systemic problem. The systemic problem is people take too many drugs, and there's too much untreated mental illness. That's your systemic problem there.
And once again, when you read these stories, they focus on what I, again, call the low-hanging fruit. There are people, and we're not going to deny it, that have hit on hard times, and they get kicked out of their home because the rent got raised, right? But they figure it out. Most of them either live with somebody temporarily, they work something out, maybe they move, right? But there are, at any given point in time, going to be, and they're often women and families, right? Because I love to refer to women and families.
Yeah.
But we're talking about is what John sees every day, what our listeners see every day, the mental illness, the drug use, the real dredge that is making the city disgusting. And they never want to address that. They always talk about what I call the low-hanging fruit,
because
people that can be helped easily.
Because the only solution is to force them inside. You force them into, really,
treatment.
Treatment, or it becomes mental incarceration is what it becomes.
Yeah, it's like you were saying yesterday, you just got to maybe drug them for the rest of their life.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's not even written about or talked about. I mean, I go searching all the time for research and stories, and nobody wants to admit that there is no cure for a lot of mental illness. There is treatment in pills, right? You just turn them into zombies. But most of these homeless people aren't gonna stick to a drug regimen.
Well, it depends if it's drugs, how far gone they are in terms of their brain damage. Right.
If they've been taking meth for a long enough time, then there's nothing left to save.
Right.
You might as well put their brain in a jar. There's nothing there anymore.
And we'll repeat this as often as possible. Go look up and read all about Sam Quinones, the writer, who's been tracking this drug problem, and he'll tell you what he learned about fentanyl. There's no coming back.
Now, why is it just Sam Quinones? And he wrote for
he was a Times writer years ago, wasn't he? That's what I think I read.
He was Most recently, he wrote a piece for LA Magazine, then an interview in New York Magazine. And by the way, New York Magazine.
Well, he wrote a book, right? The Least of Us is his book.
The Least of Us, but. What he writes is truth, like what Michael Schellenberger writes is truth, and nobody else picks up on it. And you read these books or see these interviews, and it's like this island of sanity where everything makes sense. It just all the puzzle pieces come together, and you listen and you say, that's it. That's what's going on.
And Quinones and Schellenberger are probably two guys I can think of that probably have been on the left, if you want to call it that, maybe a bit progressive, but they're trying to find the middle ground to do something about the homeless, especially the mentally ill.
Practical stuff.
The drug addict. Exactly. They're it, though. They're the two lone voices we have here in California that we've noticed. That's it.
Ideological ideas almost never work from either end. You have to have practical, rational decisions made that work. Something either works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, it's pointless. I don't know. I don't know what to do about this world.
All right. Well, when we come back.
Except get the old exit bag.
Mayor Bass is going to also have a new money stream to battle homelessness. I'm sorry, people experiencing homelessness. We'll tell you what it is because it passed. The LA City voters approved it. And now we'll tell you how people are already working to get around it, which you would do if it was this much money. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
I'm watching the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl.
Oh, that's right. I saw the list of bowl games. I couldn't believe the names. They're all sponsors.
The Duluth Trading.
There are so many now.
Yeah.
You got to be a bad college football team. You're supposed to be at least at a 500 record, I think, for most of them.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Troy is playing UTSA.
Wow.
I don't even know where those schools are.
Where's the Duke of Sports?
University, Tennessee, Texas, San Antonio.
Right.
And very good.
I don't know where Troy is.
Oh, you don't know? Isn't it in Greece or Rome? The Trojans? No.
I don't think they're part of the NCAA.
Oh, okay.
All right. So do you know the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl?
No, but
what does that mean?
These bowl names change every year just because they need a new sponsor to be able to put it on.
Yes, he's right.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I got it on.
Jimmy Kimmel's got a bowl.
Yeah, that fathead. I don't like him.
Well, he has his own bowl.
I know, and I'm getting ads all the time asking to buy tickets. There's nobody going. It's at SoFi. He got SoFi Stadium.
Is that right?
Place. Yeah.
He's got too much money then. That's a sign you got too much money.
Troy, Turkey. But I was trying to find the Troy. Is it a college?
Yeah, it's a college.
Oh, okay.
UCLA's in the Sun Bowl.
Well, that bowl's been around.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid. Yeah, so... I don't think the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl has much of a tradition, though.
No. Do you know where it is being played?
No. Orlando. That's been around 7 years already. Got by me.
Troy is in Alabama, too.
Troy. It says here that they're the number 23 and number 22 team. Is that in the major college rankings, or is this some little subdivision?
Do you have to ask the Duke of Sports?
I don't know. I'm asking him. I'm looking at him here.
He's our wizard on sports.
I'm not really a college football fan. I'm much more professional. Either.
Who wins the World Cup Sunday, Duke?
Oh, that's messy. It's going to be a send-off, passing of the torch whole thing with him and Mbappe. Argentina's going to win, though. France won't go back-to-back.
Argentina's going to win. Penalty kicks or
no regulation? I don't need that. I don't need to watch any soccer longer than I need to.
You know, in the final round, it should be endless play. There should be no penalty kicks, no tiebreakers. You play until they drop.
Ties don't belong in sports.
No,
at all.
No, I don't. I agree. I don't like these gimmick ways to end games. Like they came up with.
I love the term sudden death.
Yeah, just play until people start passing out on the field. Let's see who's physically tougher.
We're talking about Mayor Bass, her state of emergency on homelessness today, an executive order. She is moving on this. You know, I forgot to tell Ray, we got to get her daily schedule just to see what she's up to. She ought to be working on homelessness every day.
That's what I'm thinking. As we announce each day of the emergency, we can go through the schedule to see what she did about homelessness. We could see all the meetings she attended, and it'll be like a daily report
Get Ray on that, because the news department probably gets her schedule because they want the press to cover
her. Let's do this first week of January.
We'll do this the first week of January. Thank you. Now, people, not including John Cobelt, voted for Measure ULA, Unite to House LA, the mansion tax, a 4% tax on property sales above $5 million. This may bring in, based on last year's kind of sales like this, almost another $1 billion to the city of Los Angeles to fight homelessness. The tax rises to 5.5% on sales above $10 million. So here's an example. A $5 million sale would include a $200,000 tax. A $10 million sale, the tax would be $550,000, typically paid by the seller.
Oh, my God. $550,000?
Yep. So, well, they figure if you have a $10 million property for sale, you're a pretty wealthy person. So what's $550,000 to you?
It's $500,000. That's a lot of money. So you get taxed on the whole price? There's like the first $5 million is not exempted?
Don't think so, no.
Oh. That's
5.5% of $10 million is $550,000. That's what it is.
Oh, that is wrong.
It says here it's sending shockwaves to people in the housing market on the high-end transactions, and they're already figuring out ways around it.
They should. That's not your...
Some people are going to sell before it takes effect. That's their strategy because it takes effect in April. Others have come up with the weird idea that they can split the property up into parts and sell them for $4.999 million each. So they can elude the tax since it kicks in at $5 million. Oh, this is what people will do, and they deserve it.
That's their house. That they earn the money to buy the house. That's their house. It's not the government's house. And shame on you people for voting for this tax. That's not your money either. What are you doing? Why are you empowering this evil, devious, loser government we have in Los Angeles to take money from people who worked for their house? What God? What losers? Jealous people are loser people. They really are.
I think I found another academic. We ought to just throw them all in the dumpster. Shane Phillips, the Housing Initiative Project Manager for UCLA's Lewis Center. You know what he said about this transfer tax idea? And I may have to repeat the sentence because I can't believe it. The tax is a good way for property owners who have done well financially to contribute to solving city problems that come from the appreciation of their property values? I didn't even understand that. Appreciation of property values means things are going well in your neighborhood and people want to live there.
And that raises
the city's problems with all the trash and the homelessness and the drug addicts. That doesn't come from people having a nice piece of property. Get out of here.
That creates more tax revenue.
Yeah,
when you buy a new house at market rate, that creates comps for all the other homes that are going to be bought. And every time someone buys a home, they pay a tax rate at the current value of the house. That's how Prop 13 works.
What he means is because this has led to high real estate values in Southern California, it's pushing people out and some end up homeless.
It's not these kind of homes are what they sell in Bel Air. They're not pushing anybody out in Bel Air that becomes homeless. That is nonsense. You know, these academics.
Gentrification is the word they like to use.
They're just,
right?
They're just crazy liars.
The rich people come and take over like a middle low income neighborhood and they make it rich and everybody gets pushed out.
Gentrification is a stupid academic word for the neighborhood got better.
Got better. I know.
We
used to love it when that happened, and now it's like it's terrible.
They bitch when the neighborhoods are poor and run down. They bitch when the neighborhoods get an upgrade.
All right,
it all comes down to the government should have more power to steal more money away from people who work for a living. That's a horrible tax.
All right, when we come back, you can't make this up. Two stories that have to go together concerning the topic of electricity. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry, what did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the
online whiteboard for team collaboration. We can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever, actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier, with one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Well, they're really looking for that car, that white Hyundai. We will talk to Alex Stone. This is the Idaho College student murders. They do believe it could be a key in this investigation as to who killed them.
Why is this white Hyundai thing now a big deal?
Because it's all they got. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm worried about.
It's
the only decent lead they have. How's that?
Well, it's been over a week since they started selling the white Hyundai. And it just seems like today it became the big deal.
They are now looking through 22,000 registered cars that fit the description of this Hyundai, which I think they don't know the exact year of the make.
Assuming this is registered.
It's another good question.
Okay, so then you're looking at a screen with 22,000 registrations. Now what are you going to do? Call them all up?
Yeah, you have to find out where they in Idaho the night of November 13th.
And, like, the guy's going to say, yeah, I was?
I don't know.
Do you have a bloody knife in your basement? Yeah, I do. How'd you know?
Technically, it'd be the early morning hours of November 13th, the night of November 12th.
And by the way, now that the guy knows they're looking for a white Hyundai, do you think he's keeping the Hyundai white?
No. He's not even keeping it, probably.
Right, exactly.
Probably having it smashed to bits if he's the killer.
And then I heard one of the police officials today going, well, you know, think about it. If you have a neighbor and he's got a white Hyundai and he keeps it in the garage, you know, that could be useful information. It's like, great. You're going to have 55,000 neighbors calling about the guy on their block who has a white Hyundai in the garage.
Even if they live in, like, Florida?
Well, the guy could live anywhere.
Their family members are saying whoever did this to it was quick and methodical. They must have had a plan. Get in and get out. Rip them open and go. Weird, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a psycho. You know, these guys, if this is like an old-fashioned, stereotypical serial killer, those guys are usually have like some genius quality to them, and they're very meticulous and careful, and they can go years and years without getting caught.
Yeah, if this person goes underground and doesn't kill anybody again for like a year or two, it'll be tough to put all this together.
He just shows up at his accounting job the next day.
Who knows that this person didn't kill somebody a year or two ago, right?
Right. Well, all the cold cases out there.
The California Air Resources Board yesterday, this is the way they put it, approved the final proposed 2022 scoping plan, a world-leading roadmap to address climate change that cuts greenhouse gas emissions by 85%, and the state will achieve carbon neutrality in the year 2045. And if you look at their summary, oh, it's going to cut the emissions, it's going to reduce smog, it's going to create 4 million jobs. This is wonderful. Now we present the real world.
Yeah, this is impossible, everything they have on this report.
This story came out almost the same time as the CARB announcement. California and the Midwest face high risk of electricity shortages in the next 5 years. Don't we already know that? But and this report laid it out in specifics.
And here is the main reason for California's problem, and we already went through this in September. There is too much unreliable renewable energy, and the peak of renewable energy during the day does not match the peak time of the electricity usage.
Well, let's think about that. When it starts to get later in the day, the sun's going down, the winds die. And yeah, that's people coming home and they're turning on everything.
Yeah. Air conditioners go on, washer dryers go on.
Sure.
Right. Televisions, ovens. And your electric car gets plugged in.
Oh, I forgot about that, the overnight charge.
So here's what's coming in California, a daily lecture that when you get home from work, don't plug in anything. Don't turn on anything.
Why? Is it this in the dark?
This is the progress we're going to have
here. Buy candles. Don't put candles in mitt, don't they?
Well, yeah, they do, because it's like burning anything. That throws off carbons into the air. The wicks. What are the wicks?
Battery-operated flashlights, then, and lanterns?
Oh, it's a hand crank flashlight.
And you'll have to sit there, and you can't make a fire. That's no good either. I'm going to say, how do you cook your food?
No.
Yeah, you can't use the microwave.
Mm-mm.
Right.
No.
What do we...
Yeah,
and
what are we
going to unplug the refrigerator, too?
Oh, yeah, sure. Everything.
Back to the Stone Age.
That's right, back to the Stone Age.
It says here that this outfit, NERC... What is it? The National Energy Reliability, something or other?
Blah, blah, blah.
They're looking at the next decade. And they are seeing, at least in the coming 5 years, a real strain on the grid for not just California, but parts of the Midwest, too. I remember reading about this. Michigan, I think it was this year, was having some issues with electricity supply, and they were threatening possible blackouts. We all know about Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas has reached this point.
Texas' problem was the same thing. They relied too heavily on renewables.
Right.
Anywhere, the only places on the planet that are having electricity problems, besides the third world, because they never built the infrastructure, are places that lean too heavily on renewables because the wind and the solar is not reliable. In fact, what was that story? I think we printed it out. We never got to it. That in England, there is this super lull in the winds.
Right.
Off
that's
the coast
happening
of
this
England,
year?
Yeah. Yes. And I got to find the term for it because it was a really funny term. But in any event, it seems like before they decided to go all in on wind, they didn't really study the patterns or the wide variety of oscillations that happen in the climate, and that you can have extended, repeated periods of no wind. And then that's it.
Yeah.
There's no electrical generation and there's no battery to store old wind.
Oh, it's I got it for you. Anticyclonic gloom is the term that the National Review used for it. Wind energy, anticyclonic gloom was the term. And I guess the German term is Dunkelflaut.
Dunkelflaut, yes.
Which can be translated as dark lull or dark doldrums. This describes a weather pattern during which there is not a lot of sun and not a lot of wind. Oh,
right.
Now we know what to call it.
So it says in Northern Europe, they're having the Dunkelflaut.
Meteorologists call this the anticyclonic gloom.
There's 2 to 10 Dunkelflauts a year. Most of them occur from October to February. They can run a total of up to 150 hours a year. A single event can last up to 24 hours, but they're especially heavy between November and January. You can get 100 hours of Dunkelflaut a month.
So let's put the stories together. CARB thinks we're going to be carbon neutral by the year 2045, and all these stories we're reading is that renewables can't cut it at certain times of the day, certain times of the year, and yet we're going to be all dependent on these renewable sources of energy in the year 2045 for our entire grid.
Yeah, right.
How is that possible?
I see, and you'll see tomorrow, because we have the press release here, but if the news outlets run any version of this CARB announcement, are they going to run a competing story about Dunkelflaut?
I don't think they will.
Or the shortage of wind and the shortage of solar. They don't even publish it. Most people don't know.
They don't.
This is what's fascinating, is every story has, 30% of the facts.
And what did we learn yesterday? Oh, they decided to make it more expensive for you to have solar panels on your roof by giving you less of a payback on it. So that's going to deter people, probably some, from going rooftop solar. That's not good either.
No. It's worse than Dunkelflaut.
Can you get those at Dunkin' Donuts? Dunkelflaut?
Dunkelflaut.
Dunkelflaut.
I thought that was the greatest word.
The Germans
really have cool words.
They have great. I mean, my favorite is Dummkopf. What was that from Hogan's Heroes or
yes.
One of those shows?
Yeah.
Dummkopf.
Dummkopf.
More coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Guess what? In the 3 o'clock hour, we were first going to talk to Alex Stone about the Idaho murders and the intense search now for this mysterious white Hyundai, a sedan that was seen rolling from the scene. It was on video, right? I think there was some video that picked it up. And
I'm looking at the parking lot across the street. I see lots of white cars.
Hyundai.
Right. I can't tell which one's a Hyundai, but it could be out there.
Yeah, that narrows it down a little bit, a Hyundai versus every white car. You're trying to mock the investigation.
Yes, I am.
After the 3:30 news, bit of a surprise. They reached out to us, people behind the movement to recall Kevin DeLeon from office as LA City Council member.
Yeah, that's great.
They
happy to
talk
to them.
They asked if they could come on the show, so sure.
See, I want him tortured.
Yeah, you're right, and I think the mob trying to get him to resign is wrong.
Right.
He should be recalled from office or voted out in 2024.
This is the right way to do it.
We backed a recall of him before the whole.
I know.
Yeah, before the whole conversation thing.
But these protester demands, it's like, get off the stage. It's not your councilman.
It's not.
You're a bunch of paid activists just making a lot of stupid noise.
And if you get your way, you'll be going around demand everybody resign that you don't like.
Exactly. Because right. Because I don't like what you said. What you said upset me. It's like, sit down, you little toddler.
We only believe in mob rule when it's our mob, right? Well, the John and Ken
yes,
mob.
Absolutely.
Heads on a stick.
Uh-huh.
Go to Sacramento.
Our mob has wisdom and intelligence. The other mobs are just making a mess.
All right, try not to get too disgusted by this story. As we all know, fentanyl right now is one dangerous drug that has taken a hold in many parts of the United States. And we all know the deal that a small amount could be fatal. It can be very addictive. I mentioned earlier this hour that Sam Canona said that people who are hooked on fentanyl, they don't live into their 50s and 60s and 70s the way people who were hooked on heroin could and continue to use the drug. Fentanyl, man, you're going to die, and you're going to die younger than you would have. So, was that you?
Yes, I just popped open a soda, sorry.
Oh, okay, I thought you were sniffing some fentanyl.
No, it wasn't a gas leak or anything.
Oh, okay. Well, a 44-year-old man just got sentenced to 10 years in prison. He smuggled fentanyl and heroin into the jail. This happened up in Ventura County. According to the news release, Jaime Gonzalez from Oxnard was arrested for a probation violation. So they sent him to a holding cell with 11 other men. And from what I can tell, he hid the fentanyl up his anal canal.
Yeah, it says body cavity. That's the only cavity I have.
I believe that's the term for, right, your opening there.
Your anus.
Now, here's the fun part. He took it out and shared it with other men in the cell.
That's disgusting.
How desperate do you have to be for a drug hit if a guy just pulled it out of his rear end? Hey, want some?
Wow, give this a snort.
Predictably, one of the men went down. He overdosed.
On what?
The fentanyl. Well, oh, on the poop.
The bad smell, yeah, the taste.
Who knows what was coming out of there?
That's true. Didn't she just warn us about COVID? It is transmitted through body waste.
That's right. The old anal plume.
And
yeah.
John and his anal plume.
Yeah.
Anal plume.
The guy actually shoved the fentanyl up his rear end.
Well, yeah, he knew he was going to go to the jail, so we wanted to take his drugs with him. Where else are you going to put him? They search you.
Wasn't that nice?
I thought they do body searches, too. They make you bend over, don't they? And they look in there?
Sometimes, yeah, if they're suspicious.
They got like a flashlight?
I mean, every time I go through TSA, I get that, so.
Man, you didn't use enough toilet paper.
That's,
here's the other part of it. He told them, ignore the guy dying, because Gonzalez didn't want to get nabbed for bringing the fentanyl into the prison cell. So he basically tried to dissuade the others from trying to save the guy.
He wanted to get rid of the evidence, thought he would share.
Yeah. Oh, we don't know what happened to him, man. He passed out.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a bad heart. You ought to just... I mean, they would have found out that he...
Maybe he has a bad heart.
So the victim had to receive 3 doses of Narcan.
Yeah.
And was hospitalized, but did recover from the overdose. But this guy... Not only did he share his fentanyl.
Bad roommate. Bad cellmate.
Yeah.
This is an Oxnard, huh?
Yeah, he's been found guilty. Possession of a controlled substance, knowingly bringing a controlled substance into jail, and knowingly possessing a controlled substance while in jail.
What, did he get a week?
He got... Well, this is not George Gascon, but it is California.
Right.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Because I think the fact that this guy OD'd and almost died is a major factor in what they were looking at here.
Yeah,
with
plus yeah, plus the heroin and fentanyl, that is the most severe drugs out there.
Yeah. The court agreed that furnishing fentanyl and then purposefully delaying medical help to avoid getting into trouble did put the victim's life in serious jeopardy. So that was what Deputy DA made that statement. The sentence given today reflects the serious risk of death to others from those who furnish fentanyl. Yeah, well, I wish we could have more punishment for dealers who end up giving people those pills that are laced with fentanyl when they think they're getting oxycodone or some other opioid.
You know what I heard this morning? They were doing border coverage on Fox, and the drug cartels are making $20 to $30 billion a year importing drugs to the U.S. $20 to $30 billion gross.
It's mostly the Mexican cartels, I guess?
Yeah, the Mexican cartels. And they're making about $7 billion in human trafficking by getting all these illegal aliens over the border.
No.
Because they charge about $3,000 on average, I think, for a family to come over. And they were just doing the math on how many people came over the border, how much it costs, how many billions of dollars. Then the drug... revenues, and you're looking at a $30 to $40 billion empire for these drug cartels. That's an insane amount of money.
All right, we'll get the latest on the investigation into the murder of the 4 college students in Idaho from Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI next.
Every
Johnny
year.
Donnie Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.